3Y Nation, what is happening? This is Eddie Greer, host of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Yours truly, EG3, Eddie Greer for this NASCAR pod, all things NASCAR related, talking about the Craftsman Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, Indy Cup Series. Three best divisions of all of NASCAR here coming at you on race week. Can you believe it, folks? We have made it to race week, folks. I'm recording this actually on Tuesday evening as this will be episode 329 of our Purple. I also did a couple episodes of that too, but this is the 3Y NASCAR podcast episode 329 edition of the podcast. And also, I have an interview coming up as well, which will follow that. I will probably actually be after the recap of the Clash show. There's a lot going on this side on my end of the spectrum here, getting ready for the NASCAR season, which is pretty much officially upon us here. You have the preseason LA Clash, the return of the Clash of the Coliseum this weekend, week off in between that with the Super Bowl, and then things really get amped up with the countdown to Speed Week and eventually the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of all of NASCAR, going down the third weekend of February. Man, can't I believe I'm saying it. It is officially race week, preseason mode here, as all the teams, you know, I will try to fit in the Clash preview. I was going to do it, and then life happens, and then I end up getting this annoying head cold that I'm trying to get over still dealing with all of that, and I'll try to get that out. Since I'm going to have an episode already out, which actually should be out when this recording comes out anyway. So when this goes up, yeah, there should be an episode already out. So, yeah, on race week. So for those of you new to the podcast, we'll straighten this out. My weekly episode will be coming out on Monday nights. And that will include raw, literary reaction from the cup races, right? So we'll have that, and also reaction from the other races that happened over the weekend, and all that will be combobulated into one episode. That's what we're going to shoot for, and it'll be up posted on Mondays, right? First thing for your work week, right? So that's where we're all going from there. If I can't do it, I'll just focus on the cup side of things, and then maybe have an extra episode in there where I can talk about the Xfinity and truck races, right? And oh, by the way, I did an episode on the Craftsman Truck Series schedule, which is the episode that should be out right now. So definitely go check that out. And I recorded a couple more episodes to kick off Season 8 of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. So definitely you want to check those out. If you're new to the podcast, welcome on board. Check out the show. You like it, definitely hit the subscribe button and tell your fellow racing buddies about this podcast. Definitely, for sure. We're getting it kick-started here on Sunday. We already started our podcast, but the actual 2023 season gets kicked off this weekend on Sunday. And hopefully I have a Clash preview later on in the week. That's my goal, is to have that one out. Since had to kind of backtrack and move some things around. So that's the benefit of podcasts, right? You can move things around. If you know, things come up or serious emergencies happen and things like that. The Rolex 24 went down over the weekend as well. Did not really talk much about that and didn't really see much either. All I know is, I had it up on my notes here. Meyer Shank Racing has gone back-to-back winning Rolex 24s events. It's a big race down there. In one of the toughest endurance races that you're ever going to see, to kick off basically Daytona weeks. It used to be part of, I incorporated with the Speed Weeks as well, because Rolex 24 hits, that means racing begins, which it actually starts this weekend. So, Meyer Shank Racing gets it done. They go back to back in the Rolex 24. That is big for that team as well. I hopped on here to look at more of the cup teams here in 2023, your usual suspects. And last time I recorded was back in Kansas City, where I talked a little bit about Penske. We're going to focus on two more cup teams. And the first one we're going to look at is Trackhouse Racing. Yes, Trackhouse Racing, who finished second runner-up to the eventual champion, Joey Logano, last year. And oh, by the way, Joey Logano will look to repeat this weekend. Whenever this comes out, I think this might come out afterwards, but we'll see, because I got a lot going on with recordings, interviews, so I'm going to have to move some things around. But whenever this comes out, Joey Logano may or may not have repeated, but he have a shot to repeat in the 2023 class. This in the 23-3 class. 2023 season clash here this weekend. Ross Chastain, folks, finished second, right? Look, first off, Trackhouse Racing. Look, none of us thought that they're going to be climbing the ladder in last year. This team was to be mid-pack, or at least in the top 10 is concerned anyways, or back into the top 10, or maybe even, I'll probably give this team, the tandem of Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez, maybe at best top 15 runs. Maybe some slight couple of top 10 finishes in there as well. But, wow, you got to be amazed at what Ross Chastain, especially what Ross Chastain did last year, win the two races. Obviously, the bump and banging win at COTA was first win ever. And remember, Ross Chastain has had a couple experience prior to last year. He was just with bad race teams. Right? Excuse me. And all of a sudden, you're with a team that, obviously, Daniel Suarez is supposed to be the flagship of that race team. But Ross Chastain said, hell, I'm going to take this over, and I'm going to show you where I really got. Look, Ross Chastain's been around for quite a while now in the Cup Series, but not with a legit team. He's turned this thing into, okay, let's see what we can do. And they're literally, and this team had the best pit crew in all of NASCAR last year, or one of the best pit crews in all NASCAR last year, talking about Ross Chastain, right? So now, this year, woo, and just kind of to wrap up what he did last year, Ross Chastain, second in points, right? 15 top fives, 21 top tens, including throwing there his 5 stage wins from a year ago. Question now is, can he back that up? That is going to be a huge question mark here in 2023. Can he back that up, or at least come close to it? If this team falls off, and then I don't know. I probably say it would be, I hate to use the word flukish kind of deal, because it's one of those things that Trackhouse Racing was definitely the surprise of 2023. Who will be the surprise this year? I have no idea. There are a lot of potential candidates that I have on my list. I'll probably share that as season gets closer and closer there. But look, Ross Chastain gets the no back down attitude. Look, he's a spot. He was one spot, or really 6 spots shy of winning a championship. We look at it. Lost down the championship to 6 points at 6 positions, right? So all you have to do now is look. Can this team build on it? I think they can, but it's a wait and see process, because again, this car was well balanced throughout the field. You saw different cats up in the field each and every week. Different guys winning. It'll be interesting to see. This is going to be a trending story here throughout the year. Can Trackhouse back up what they did? And speaking of Daniel Suarez, you know, he's supposed to be the flagship of this race team. I think more pressure is going to be on this cat right here. Yes, he finally won a race, finally, after Ross Chastain got there first. Again, you think of flagship guys, you think of guys who've been there to start off an organization and get their first wins before the other guy or team gets going, right? So if I can find Daniel Suarez, well, both of these teams finished, what, in the top 10, right? Suarez finished 10th with his win at Sonoma. Look, Suarez could have won a couple more other races last year, couldn't finish it, or had some major issue, or got in somebody else's mess. 6 top fives, 13 top tens, add in the 2 stage wins for Suarez in 2023. So I think the key for him, I think more pressure is going to be on Daniel Suarez. If I have to be totally honest here, you're the number one guy that the organization Justin Marks is building around, right? So you would think that, yes, these two guys are friends, and they've shown it on camera, and they've shown it on different NASCAR outside of the track as well, right? So look. These two guys are buddies. But at the end of the day, it's all about the results here. Will they duplicate what they did last year? And even with that, yeah, there are some missed opportunities last year. 3 wins total here. Again, Suarez could have won a couple more races. And Ross Chastain maybe another one or two here or there. So they're still a unfinished product for Trackhouse Racing and going into year 3 of this Cup program for sure. So we'll find out what happens this year. It's really interesting to see. And obviously, all 40 guys, I'll have those guys named when we do the class preview. We'll just go right down the line. I'm not going to do it in that preview because I'm going to do separate team interviews there as well, excuse me. But yeah, absolutely looking forward to seeing what they do here. Yeah, I think really the pressure's on Suarez, but again, I probably put Chastain in that same boat too. You gotta back up what you did last year. Even so, you can't really take a step back because other teams are gonna take a step forward in with this car, this new generation car now, in a year now. After a full year with this car now, it'll be interesting to see how this is a 2-car team going against 3-car operations, but they're not the only 2-car operation. When you look at 2311, RCR, Legacy, look at those teams right there. They're all 2-car operations, right? So, again, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Do they get another advantage on this race car, or I should say advantage, well, yeah, we'll go with that. Or will they take a step back? Because, look, the Hendricks, the Jokies, Races, the Penske's, they are going to catch up to something. But again, this team really caught our eyes last year, and they were the darlings of 2022. But I think everybody's going to be ready for them. Question is, who's going to be the darlings of 2023? We'll have to find that out very in weeks' times here. But it'll be interesting. We'll find out to see. I know the clash won't tell us anything, but it might tell us who's going to be up there come short track racing. I mean, this is a unique, obviously, once in a lifetime, once in a season track where it's a bull ring out there. So it's really hard to tell. But who's going to be fast out there? But definitely, I'm anxious to go out there and see. Well, I'm not going out there. I'm anxious to see on TV what transpires in this weekend at the Clash. You'll be interested to see what happens there. Can Ross Chastain duplicate what he did last year? If he can, he's going to be a championship threat. There's no question about that. Suarez, I think he's going to have to pick up this game a little bit more. You're the flagship that started this whole team around. You're the flagship of this team. I think he has to do a little bit more. He has to do a little bit more. Get up there. I mean, he got up there last year, right? Up there in the top 10. One of the races that come to mind, Charlotte, where he had probably the fastest car of the field and got in trouble, right? I think it was a mechanical issue, if I am not mistaken there as well. So, but yeah, he's got to do a little bit more if he is going to be taken a little bit more seriously here in 2023. But all the sides concerning Trackhouse Racing, Ross Chastain did put this team on the map quite a bit. And looking forward to seeing what this organization does come really this week and going into the start of 2023. Back here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Andy Greer III here with you guys once again coming at you. It's a recording podcast on Tuesday night, January 31st, 2023 here. Team previews of Trackhouse Racing. And now, to wrap up the podcast here, talking to JGR on the podcast here. Last year, man, wasn't really much of a factor until late last year when Christopher Bell went on that unbelievable run, winning a couple of up against the wall races in the playoffs there as well. But look, Denny Hamlin still going to be Denny Hamlin. Truex did not get a win last year, even though he won the league, led the NASCAR in stage wins yet again, but was not rewarded gaining the playoffs there. And Kyle Busch with his one win at Bristol Dirt, which, hey, if that incident does not happen between Briscoe and Reddick, now Reddick, who's with 2311 now, that wreck does not happen, Kyle Busch might have gone winless for the first time in his career. Hard to believe. Kyle Busch now, like 15 seasons down, he has yet to go winless in the Cup Series. That is an incredible streak. But more Kyle Busch when we reach the rich RCR side of things there as well. He was on the team last year. He ain't on the team this year or anymore after things went south with contract negotiations thing, which took forever. So we'll get to that down the line here on the 3-1 NASCAR Podcast EG3. But the story here of JGR has to be Christopher Bell. I mean, look. He won one race in the regular season. That was New Hampshire, which Martin Truex Jr. should have won that. Again, going back to the whole domino effect there. But Bell was solid as well throughout that race, but for the exception, really, stage one. And then he just came alive as the longer that race went, the better he gotten there as well. Christopher Bell made the final four with his three wins. Two of them came in the playoffs, and two of those wins came in their elimination races. Charlotte Roval won, and two, he won again at Martinsville, the whole Hail Melon put down by Ross Chastain. was ever going to be remembered by that whenever we turn to Martinsville here later on this spring. But Christopher Bell, 12 top fives, 20 top tens, 4 stage wins for him. Can that momentum carry over to the regular season this year? I want to be surprised here. Is your boy going on a limb and say Christopher Bell's going to win Saturday at the Clash? Maybe. You have an opportunity to do that. So I want to be, and again, I'm going to try to record that later on this week and have my actual dark horse and winner there. So I'm not trying to, might be giving it away. But yeah, Christopher Bell came on when Iron struck out. Got hot at the right time and carried that momentum all the way through the championship. 4 in, honestly, there. He doesn't have issues there with the handling of the race car there. He might have gotten up there to at least challenge Chastain, at least. I don't know if he would have challenged the Logano because the Penske cars were on something else last year in that particular race. But Christopher Bell is a rising star in the Cup Series for sure. With Larson there in, can he back that up? I think he can get a couple more wins in the regular season. And look, the tide is turning now. Look, you have two young guys now, with Bell, and now the addition with the upbringing, the call-up of Ty Gibbs now taking over as the fourth guy for Joe Gibbs Racing. And there's no more 18. No more 18, probably for the exception of the Xfinity Series. But no more 18 in the Cup Series, at least, there. With all the success that Joe Gibbs and Kyle Busch had there, they couldn't settle on a deal. That's a shame. That's a damn shame on that front there. But Christopher Bell finished third in the Championship 4 last year, resulted in a third-place overall finish for him. Denny Hamlin, 2 wins, just 2 last year, finished 5th in the standings, 10 top fives, 16 top tens for him as well. Of course, he's an owner. He's the owner, co-owner of 2311 with Michael Jordan, the 6-time NBA champ. Look, Denny Hamlin yet again get a speed of Ross Chastain in that Hail Melon race there. That final cutoff spot, that final elimination race to decide the 4 drivers for Phoenix. He was in position to get another appearance in the Championship 4. Got stolen away, or maybe that might be the wrong word, but taken away there by, yeah, you can say stolen, taken, stolen, same damn thing. taken away by Ross Chastain there. And Hamlin and Chastain were the story when it came to rivalries last year on the track last year. And I would not be surprised if that resumes here in 2023. But Denny Hamlin, now it's getting to a point where, again, he, Truex, and we already know that Harvick will be hanging the steering wheel up after the end of the year, calling his retirement a couple weeks ago over there. So, Denny Hamlin says he feels good, and as long as he continues to do that, I mean, he's going to be up there as one of the premier drivers running up front when it comes to races week in and week out, things like that. But only two, hard to believe, Denny Hamlin, two wins last year in 2022. I had to double check that for a minute there. Both of those wins, I believe, coming early in the season. One of those was Charlotte. That was huge. That turned out to be a huge win for him last year there as well. Let's see if I can pull up his other win. His other one came somewhere before that. Let's see here. You got to look at the schedule. Yes, home track. I should have guessed that. Richmond Raceway, where he did it on a different pit strategy than the 19 and the 24 last year as well. So we'll see if, you know, you get a little bit more out of this team last year. Seeing that they left a lot of kind of some bad performances last year and not really up to par. So it'll be interesting to see again with the change of the tide and all that. You know, he's got two different duties. You know, he's focused on what his team's doing, 23-11, what they're doing, and then he has to turn around and focus on what he is doing as well. Luckily, they're in the same manufacturer banner, Toyota, which backs these teams up there. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see, can he come back with a much more stronger year? He's won a couple of Daytona 500s, and you know he's going to be a threat at some of these short tracks. You can throw him in the mix with Bell for Saturday night's clash at the Coliseum as well. So just going off of him as well. After we watch that race again, at least the main event anyway, to see, get a better picture. But I already know, I already got it picked out who I want there as well. So Denny Hamlin finished fifth last year in the standings there. This is a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 from Manhattan, Kansas, coming to you from Manhattan, Kansas here. Let me get a swig of water here real quick before we wrap up with the next two drivers here on this podcast. Okay. Ooh, all right. So, man, half hour can be a handful sometimes. All right, especially recovering from getting a one-day head cold. I'm trying to muscle through that. All right, so next here, you got to find all the way down, missing the playoffs, Martin Truex Jr., who finished 17th. This doesn't really indicate how he ran last year. Obviously, four top fives, a career low in a season for MTJ. 15 top fives, seven stage ones was again led everybody in his department yet again, but no wins to show for it, and he had multiple opportunities. It was so frustrating being a Martin Truex Jr. fan. If you've been following this podcast for a while or for a couple years, you know I'm a Martin Truex Jr. fan, and again, same thing. Like Denny Hamlin, he's up there in age. Kevin Harvick is like 45 or 46. And MTJ is 42, right? And such unfortunate news. Sad news on the Martin Truex Jr. front off the field. I'm not going to dive into that right now. But most of y'all who are friends with, who are part of the Martin Truex Jr. group, or fans, know what I'm talking about. You can find it on, it was tweeted by Bob Pockrest. It was on MTJ's story, IG, last week as well. I'm not gonna dive on into that right now. Very such disappointing, sad story there as well with Sherry. You can find that, what Martin said there. So we're gonna leave it at that. But yeah, on the track, Martin definitely should have had a couple wins under the bank, and really should have had New Hampshire for sure, for one. Nashville, another one. Strong, really strong at the Daytona races. last year, both of them, the 500 in a cutoff race, which in the season finale, which again, he doesn't get that damage on the front right front tire above the right front fender, I should say. That's a different story there, because, and you don't have all that wrecking. That's another different story there. Lost out on the playoffs by 3 measly points to Blaney there as well. You know my stance on that from last year. A very unfortunate deal. So, again, and these two, James Small, the crew chief for MTJ, these two bickered a ton last year. Interesting, really interesting to see if this happens again, escalates even more this year. I mean, Mark Trashier is on a 1-year deal, so it was up to Joe Gibbs. I'm glad he left it up to him to decide that factor there. So it's going to be really interesting. If these two aren't having success on the racetrack, then we're going to be in some serious trouble. So he could even decide, hey, hanging up. But this team got the speed. No question. This team's got the speed to win these races, and they have to put a finishing product out there. They have to. They just have to. And again, I kind of made a bold prediction on one of the early episodes of the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, that Blaney, Truex, and Keselowski are going to win a race here in 2023. Mark, book it. Book it. Count it. Book it right now on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. You're here to hear again on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. Blaney's going to get a win. He's just too fast not to get a win. Truex, also in that same category, he's still fast. Now, you're running mid-pack every week and struggling. That's a different story, but you're up there. So you're up there every week, and you have fast race cars. Just whether it's stupid speeding on pit road. Hey, Homestead's another one. Yes, Kyle Larson had a car to beat, but Truex was leading with some 20 laps to go, and the caution comes out, and of course he has an incident with Larson there and got back up as far as 6th. That's another one account that, you know, I know New Hampshire already said that. I know I'll leave one or two more out there as well. But, yeah, and this team was really, organization was way off on road courses. I expect that to change. MTJ is way better than that on road courses. That was very disappointing. Way off, not even in left field with the steps of these cars that we're dealing with right now. So if they didn't make any changes, all the teams across the board are going to be in trouble when it comes to road coursing here in 2023 as well. And then you got to think about the Chicago Street Race as well. A lot of people think that's going to be a bad race from what I've been reading on Twitter. Things like that. We just got to see how it all shapes out. But Mark Trisher, I expect better things from him. Really from the wind column. So this team has to finish races. That's all I'm saying right there. And last but not least here, the man that replaced Kyle Busch, Ty Gibbs, the 2022 Xfinity Series champion, gets the full call-up. We saw him last year in relief duty for Kurt Busch last year. I don't have his stats up here right now, but I know he had like a top 15 at Pocono or something like that. I know he had a couple top 15 finishes. I say top 20 at Pocono. Top 15 at Michigan. So, look, Ty Gibbs, look, between him and Noah Gregson, which, again, we'll get to him later on, between him and Gregson, yes, they still need a little season, but they don't need that much season because they were up here last year in multiple cup races getting that experience. So they're still going to learn, no question about it. But he's got to feel, and I hate to put him in that category, but he's got to fill some shoes. Let's just not kid around ourselves here. Kyle Busch, what a 100-time winner across the board in all 3 NASCAR series, right? And I don't have the exact number, but he's up there. He's definitely up there with Kevin Harvick. He and Kevin Harvick continue to switch spots for the all-time wins list. I think it's 60-59, if I'm mistaken, between the two of those guys, respectively. I know Harvick's 60 for sure. I think Kyle Busch has 58, 59 wins in the NASCAR Cup Series, somewhere along the lines of that there. So, look, Ty Gibbs, I think the first half is still going to be little bit more on a learning curve. I think the second half, I think Ty Gibbs is going to take off. That's probably another bold prediction on this podcast here in 2023, early in the podcasting season. Then look, Ty Gibbs, he doesn't bat enough for anybody. And obviously, the story, winning the cup, winning the Xfinity Championship, and then the sad news that came out the next day with his father, Coy, and all that. Again, we got to continue to keep the Gibbs family in your prayers, which is another thing that we have to bring up here in the podcast here real quick here. I have a relationship with the NASCAR, a diversity program, having young kids and girls, young boys and young women on the podcast and talking about their stories of how they're getting to this level of NASCAR, right? We also received sad news that one of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series guys passed away. That's Frico Gutierrez, who was a rising star in the Mexico Truck Series. He passed away in a car accident this weekend, somewhere in there. Saw that over the weekend as well. We need to be thinking about them at this very time as well. So we're going to take a moment of silence right here, and we're going to wrap up the podcast. And we are back for the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Eddie Greer here, a.k.a. EG3, the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, closing in on another episode here in the books here. Yeah, just to finish up Ty Gibbs there. It might be a little sooner that he's going to start to blossom. Might be mid-season somewhere in there. But the Ty Gibbs brings that 54 and brings Chris Gale with him as his crew chief there as well. So, fun time. So, definitely have a split right there for Joe Gibbs Racing going into the season, right? You have two Wiley veterans, a champion, that being Truex Jr., Hamlin, a three-time Daytona 500 winner, and you know what you're going to get from Hamlin. Right there. So there's that. Christopher Bell, can he build on that late season success last year, that postseason run last year that led him all the way to Championship 4? Can he do it again? And then you have a rising star in Ty Gibbs, the 2022 Xfinity Series champion. So we'll see. We'll see if Joe Gibbs can bounce back. They're bringing back 5 wins from last year. Combining Bell and Hamlin. So, interesting to see. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for sure. You're going to know about it because my favorite driver is on that team. So you'll know about it for sure as well. Some quick notes right here. I'm sure we'll get into it when we reach Stuart Haas Racing. Last week, Chase Briscoe signed a multi-year deal staying with Stuart Haas. Roger Carruth, speaking of NASCAR diversity program, Roger Carruth will be back part-time with Alpha Prime Racing, where he did some work with them last year. Of course, he's full-time in a truck series. Excited for that. Roger Carruth is a two-time appearance on the EG3. He's an EG3 alum. Two-time, I think. Maybe three-time. One of those two, anyway. But anyways, he has been on the show multiple times on this podcast, so really excited to see his growth this year, especially in the truck series where he's going to get an opportunity here to run the whole schedule. Very interested to see what he's going to do over there as well. So that's some nuggets here. I know I'm missing a few as well. Rob Lowe, star of 911 Lone Star, is going to be the grand marshal for the Super Bowl of NASCAR, the 65th annual running of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. I cannot wait for that. That is my favorite race, or one of the favorite races of the year for me anyways, because all the anticipation and things like that, all the newness of the new season about to kick off, all the excitement, all the buzz, all the anticipation, all the what could be surprises, things like that. So definitely Daytona 500 is going to be around the corner here before you know it. But this weekend, as I'm sitting here recording this on the last day of January, the Clash, which I hope to have a Clash preview pod on that here later on in the week, due to pushing some things back. So looking forward to that as well. But folks, the Three Wide NASCAR podcast, find it again wherever you get your podcast, folks. Again, we just started season 8 in the beginning of the month here. We're already a few episodes deep in 2023, and looking forward to talking some post Clash race here before we know it. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, Three Wide Nation, that is going to wrap things up for another edition of the Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Appreciate you again. You're new to the podcast, welcome on board. If you're new to the show, you like what you're hearing, definitely make sure you subscribe first. Tell your NASCAR friends and make sure you definitely check out the latest episodes in the archives. And you feel free to go back and listen to older episodes as well, including some special guests as well that's on there that I've had on the podcast level, like a Roger Cruz, a Nick Sanchez, who won the ARCA championship last year as well. Go back and listen to those episodes for you as well. Get yourself ready for the season as well. The season the official season doesn't start till mid-February, but hey, racing starting right now. The Clash going down this weekend, so get your popcorn ready for some beating and bang at the Bullring, which is the Clash at the Coliseum out west in Cal. That's going to do it for right now. Eddie Greer here, a.k.a. EG3 again. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Have a good one, folks.